Good morning and hello again. Today, new powers for Gardaí to enforce the travel and gatherings ban. We'll talk to Justice Minister Charlie Flanagan, to former Attorney General and Minister Michael McDougall, and also to the man who ran the traffic corps. Plus, a doctor's fears that too many people are ignoring the rules, and a woman cocooned in Dingle with an appeal to potential holidaymakers. Also from the UK, Edwina Curry on Boris's battle with coronavirus. Europe's finance ministers failed to agree a rescue package. Psychiatry Professor Jim Lucy on handling anxiety, Avalon leasing chief Donald Slattery on airlifting protective gear to the front line, and on the crisis in aviation. Plus, live from Árnaji in Kirkcudbright, singer Muireann Ní Cóilí has a special performance for us. Email today sor@rte.ie, text us on 51551, and you can also tweet at todaysor. Stay at home has been the mantra over the past few weeks, and now go home is the new message for people heading off across the country for what promises to be a long sunny weekend ahead at Easter. New regulations are in force since midnight that will enable the Gardaí to enforce the measures in place to reduce the spread of the COVID-19 coronavirus. This will include establishing roadblocks across the country to intercept people trying to flout the rules. Later we'll hear from the Minister, Charlie Flanagan, but also in a few minutes we'll hear from the former Attorney General Michael McDougall and retired Detective Chief Superintendent John O'Brien, who's also, of course, a former head of the traffic Garda Traffic Corps. But first on the line, Dr. Yvonne Williams, GP based in the Shannon Medical Centre in County Clare, and Fran Ryan, who's cocooning in Dingle in County Kerry. First of all, Fran Ryan, good morning to you. Tell me what the past week has been like, the improving weather, and I suppose you would see some people coming back to the Dingle area.
Good morning, Sean. How are you? It's difficult for people who have holiday homes. I mean, obviously, I have empathy with them that they want to come and spend the time in a beautiful spot like Dingle. But really, they're putting the rest of us at risk. We're obeying the rules. And up to now, the Gardaí had no power whatsoever to stop people coming into the town. Dingle relies on tourism, obviously. You know, it's a tourist town. But I do think that there are things more important than money. And the Dingle people are really abiding by the rules, and I think it's very unfair of people to come from outside and put us at risk.
And what's the evidence so far? I mean, what has the situation been like up to now?
Well, I'm not out myself, but I do live in the town, and I live near the main road, and last week we were sitting out in the sun, and the amount of cars that were going back west, as we call it, you know, was unbelievable. And they weren't all locals coming in shopping. There couldn't have been, you know. And a friend of mine who live out there have been telling me that it's like Christmas out there with lights popping on in the houses that are normally empty, you know. So it's very serious at this stage.
Maybe some of them came down before the outright ban effectively on moving more than 2 kilometres from home was introduced. Yeah. 12 days ago.
Yeah, that's a possibility, and our local county councillor has been looking into it and said that some of the people were here before then. And I don't mind once they're staying at home and not putting everybody else in danger, but a lot of them have been coming into town in the past week. I mean, and I believe in town itself you can see the strangers walking around.
And
just
is there much?
There can't
be a whole lot for them to do. I mean, Dick Mac's would be closed and all the restaurants and everything like that.
Absolutely, yeah. It seems to be, I've only heard rumours that some Airbnb are open, but I don't believe that because I run Airbnb myself and I have it blocked off. You know, I don't want people in my house that might be a chance of getting the virus.
But really,
they're just walking around town. There's nothing open. All the pubs are closed. All the shops are closed. The only people open are the supermarkets and the pharmacies. I think it's unfair to put those at risk as well by going in shopping. Those people are actually out there helping us. So why should their lives be put at risk?
You don't sound like somebody, and forgive me for being a bit nosy, who's old enough to be cocooning, but that's what you're doing anyway.
Can I lie about it? Yeah. My partner and myself are cocooning because it's the safe thing to do. And we haven't actually been out since St. Patrick's weekend. We weren't even out that weekend. So we're watching lots of Netflix, and we had a good stock of red wine in. So we're happy out.
Yeah, well, that's good to know. But at the same time, there are commercial opportunities being lost. And you said there are things more important than money at this time.
Oh, absolutely. Money can't buy our way out of this, you know. And, you know, people need to turn on CNN. I recently started looking at it. And to see the cameras going into hospitals and showing people who are dying. I mean, come on, wake up. This is a no-brainer, really. You know, I mean, lives are way more important than money. And there'll be other Easters, Sean. There'll be other summers, you know, and I hope we'll be alive to see them. You know, this is just one Easter.
Yes, the Connor Pass will be there for a while yet. There's no doubt
it
about that.
It will indeed, it will. And we'll welcome everybody back then.
Thank you very much indeed for joining us. That's Fran Ryan there in Dingle. Dr. Yvonne Williams, as I say, joins us from the Shannon Medical Centre in County Clare. Are you seeing evidence there where you are, Yvonne, of people ignoring the current guidelines and going to their holiday homes?
Good morning, Sean. Unfortunately, yes, and it's quite often misintentioned. People think that they're obeying the rules and self-isolating or keeping their distance, but they're not actually doing it properly. People who are infected in their own homes are, you know, staying inside the house but not self-isolating inside the house or staying away from their relatives. They're not going out to the shops. Some people think that I've had people this week who tell me they've been doing half marathons and they think that they're keeping to the exercise guidelines, which are meant to be, you know, leaving your house for brief exercise within a 2 kilometre radius. The local pharmacies are telling me they have a lot of people over 70 calling down to them for various items that, you know, they feel it's a social need, that the people are feeling a little bit lonely, that the isolation is starting to take its toll on them, because we have local systems that nobody over 70 needs to leave their house. We have a wonderful community guard service in the area for anyone who doesn't have relatives, but people are still going out. There were people picnicking down by the estuary in Shannon yesterday with their children at where the path at a junction, so everybody passing them had to go within 2 metres, anyone else who was out for a jog or walking their dog. So it is being flouted. I think people feel maybe the rules don't apply to them, and there's a certain false sense of security at the moment because the numbers haven't been as high as we expected.
Well,
and I think that's because of the number of tests.
36 deaths yesterday is more than thought-provoking all the same, isn't it?
It is, absolutely, but I suppose we're lucky in one sense in the West that we haven't had a huge number locally, and the cases that are being tested have centred a lot in Dublin. So there is that, I think, that false sense of security that people don't know people in the area perhaps that have been affected directly by this. My colleagues in Bray and in Dublin are absolutely devastated by the number of deaths in nursing homes in the area, and the nursing home staff there and the families of those people are really struggling to cope with what's going on.
We heard the Health Minister Simon Harris on Morning Ireland say this is no time for complacency, but do you have a sense that maybe since the recommendations for people for being tested were tightened, that there's been a drop in discipline and compliance, has there?
Absolutely. I think it's one of the unforeseen consequences. So there was a massive fall off in the number of people ringing us for advice. And because a lot of people were out of work, they're not ringing us when they're sick to get a cert for work. And they think that they're obeying the rules. They're perhaps staying at home, not going shopping, but they're not self-isolating in the way that they should be with symptoms. And the other people in the house with them are continuing perhaps to go to work in some cases, rather than restricting their movements. They don't realise that because they don't have a fever and, you know, symptoms of a chest infection, that they still need to treat themselves as if they have COVID-19 when they have, for example, a runny nose, a sore throat, aches and pains. So the unforeseen consequence of the guidelines being tightened is that all those people with milder symptoms are not behaving as if they have COVID-19, whereas in reality it's quite possible that they do, and they need to behave as if they do to protect their grandparents, the older people around, the shop workers and the pharmacists and so on.
We know that they're taking a little time to ramp up the number of tests because of the lack of availability of reagent and so forth, but they're heading up towards 2,000 a day, ultimately aiming, I think, by the end of this month for 15,000. Do you think that the slow pace of the testing compared to where they hope to be would maybe be giving us a false sense of security?
Absolutely, because the numbers that we're hearing on the news every day do not reflect the number of sick people that we're in contact with on the ground, and they don't reflect the number of people who have symptoms of COVID-19. They're days behind, even in terms of the death rates that are being announced daily. There's a lag, and people are hearing those numbers and taking them to mean this is what happened today, this is what happened yesterday, but that's not what healthcare workers are seeing at the coalface, unfortunately. So I think things are probably worse than the numbers reflect, and we need to take care of the people living in, like that wonderful lady you just had speaking in Dingle and Lahinch and Roundstone and all these beautiful parts of Ireland where people would love to go for a long weekend. They're so vulnerable, and the rest of us who live in an urban area, we just need to stay home this weekend. It's not fair on the other people that live in those areas for us to start moving around.
Yeah, some strong texts coming through. We're in West Cork. It's absolutely packed with people from the UK in their holiday homes. They were not stopped by anyone coming into this country. They came on ferries as they brought their cars. Also, a lot of people here from Dublin and elsewhere as well. While we welcome all visitors, but not right now during this scare, says Rose. Another one, Sean, all these cars coming down here to the West are monitored on the motorway toll. It's easy to track and prosecute. The Gardaí should stop all traffic at the Shannon and turn them back where they came from. from. These are not idiots, they are traitors and they should be made to pay, says Pat. So obviously strong feelings there, Yvonne.
Absolutely. And if I just could use the opportunity, what my colleagues and I are also seeing is that there's a lot of sick people out there with other problems that are not coming into us in time. They're ringing us maybe 3 days, 5 days later than we would like. And people are having to have surgery that perhaps was avoidable. It would have been much more straightforward and letting things go too long. The routine things, people having chest pain that we need to know, are they having a heart attack or angina? People with appendix, the surgeons are saying to us that a lot of people with kids with appendix are now coming in with a burst appendix needing much bigger surgery and a longer stay in hospital than they would have. So people who are sick, please contact your doctor if you're unwell in the same way you normally would have, and we will deal with it over the phone initially and let you know where to go from there.
And you're echoing something there that we've been hearing from everybody, from the Chief Medical Officer Tony Holohan down. Look, thank you very much indeed for joining us. That's Yvonne Williams, GP at the Shannon Medical Centre in County Clare. I'm joined now by John O'Brien, a retired Detective Chief Superintendent, also a member of the National Executive of the Garda Retired Members Association. John, you were in charge of the traffic corps at one stage. How do you think the Commission will go about putting an operation in to give effect now to these regulations?
Yeah, Sean, good morning. Good morning to your other guests. I'm happily cocooned here in North County Dublin. I think that the Commissioner, like all guards, will understand that the essence of public cooperation is a soft blue power. I think we're well tuned to the heart of the community. But of course, Sean, as many moons ago when we spoke about the road safety and the lifesaver operation, is you do need to have some steel in your belt as well. And I think that the accent will be on getting the persuasiveness, moral persuasiveness. But if people, you know, disregard, which are obviously very sensible, and I know onerous recommendations or requirements now, then the guards will have to act. But I think very much a last resort, and I think we will be depending, as always, on that great public cooperation. We all have to give up a little for the, for the good of the community, because this is so, so serious. I mean, in the Garda Retired, last Friday, we were honouring Garda Richard Fallon, the first guard shot in the course of the Troubles. We had to give that up, and if we gave it up because we understood absolutely it couldn't be done, and everybody has to make the sacrifices right now. But I think the guards will be sensible. I think they're well tuned into the community, and I know from family members who are in essential services that they have been stopped so far, and it's been polite, it's been cheerful, it's been necessary. And now the guards will have, for a very short length of time, I'm a little bit intrigued about the length of the measures, will have a little bit more steel in their back pocket if they need it.
Yes, that was the phrase used by Simon Harris earlier. Gosh, it's hard to believe that it's all of half a century since the awful murder of Garda Fallon on Aran Quay, if memory serves me.
Correct, Sean. 3rd of April 1970.
A lot has happened since then. A lot of good things as well, I suppose, with the troubles and all we've been through. But look, this is a big crisis. So, I mean, do you think that, I suppose, the guard, they've been very visible, certainly. But what about that person then? They're saying they should be there on the Shannon in numbers and turning people back if they've no reason to be on the road.
Well, I think as I said at the start, is the idea that there's a strong moral persuasiveness in our society at the moment. But yes, we do need to be able to enforce the law when it comes down to people making absolutely drastic choices that affect all our health. And yes, they can do that by stopping, by mounting checkpoints, by indicating that people shouldn't continue. If they fail to do that, then their penalty is there to deal with it. So they have to have those kind of a twin-track approach, Sean. But you know what? It is very difficult to enforce the law against people if they don't want to do it in numbers. But we think there is obviously everybody at the moment wants to do the right thing, bar a very small minority. And I think the law should be enforced against those. Like I said to you already, I'm rather intrigued at the short span of the restrictive legal measures, but perhaps maybe that will come a bit clearer in time.
Okay, John O'Brien, thank you for joining us. Retired Detective Chief Superintendent Michael McDougall, good morning to you.
Good morning, Sean.
I imagine you might be one of those people who would previously or in normal times be hoping to head across the Shannon for the long bank holiday weekend. Yeah. But these are extraordinary circumstances. What's your sense of, what's your assessment of the way the government has gone about putting these regulations in place now, finally signed last evening by Simon Harris?
Well, I totally agree with you. I mean, I would love to be down on the Shannon where we have a place, but I mean, I can't do it. And for the same reasons as were explained in relation to Dingle, you know, if I go down there and I go to the local shop to buy a newspaper, I could be carrying an infection with me. And, you know, it's very, very important that people realise, I think, that, You know, this isn't just a kind of a council of perfection. This is actually how lives will be saved. The government is doing well on this, and I want to compliment the government on what they're doing. The four-day imposition of mandatory regulations is, as your previous speaker said, a little bit perplexing as to why it would have a short duration of that kind. So I'm taking the view that the government is probably taking a calculation that they really do want the Easter holiday weekend not to be an occasion where the COVID virus escapes across the country, particularly when you look at the death statistics, Sean. The west of Ireland has had a better time than the rest of the country, and it does appear that in the urban areas to the east, there is a higher incidence of COVID-19. So, I mean, it would be very, very irresponsible of people to travel west and bring it with them.
Yeah, just looking at the text line, to Heller, to Connacht has taken on a different meaning. 37 properties in Dingle on Airbnb available from the 11th of April to the 15th. That's from next Saturday onwards. Sean, your rural contributors decry visitors from the cities going to the country for some respite from the lockdown. Dublin is much harder hit than any other region. My son caught the virus in the health service protecting others. It's much harder to be stuck in the city. Why shouldn't urban people move to the houses they own and stay put safely? Basic civic liberties cannot be trumped by rural Mayfeinism. What would you say to Philip in Dublin, Michael McDougall?
Well, that last contribution actually emphasises that there is a higher prevalence of COVID-19 in Dublin. And it's very reasonable in those circumstances to suppress travel within the country from areas where there is a high incidence of the disease to places where there isn't. And, there is an element of restriction of civil liberty, but the simple fact is that we are facing a national emergency. And if we drop our guard on this, we could be talking about 10,000 people instead of 1,000 people eventually dying of COVID-19. So you can talk about your civil liberties all you like, but if you're talking about 9,000 extra deaths, for instance, who takes the moral responsibility of saying that their civil liberties trump all that, especially when they're restricted in a very, very limited way?
Okay, Michael McDougall, thank you very much indeed for your insights. Just another one of those texts from a renowned holiday area, Downings in Northwest Donegal. I know it well. A beautiful destination for tourists, looks like it does in July, with northern holidaymakers flocking in over the last 2 days. Some that couldn't access their mobile homes have actually rented houses. Disgraceful behaviour. 51551 for your texts. Keep them coming today. sor@rte.ie for your emails. We'll talk to Charlie Flanagan, the Minister for Justice and Equality, after this break.
Tweet at Today SOR.
The Minister for Justice and Equality, Charlie Flanagan, is on the line. Minister, thanks for taking our call. First of all, why the delay? Why has it taken so long to get these regulations signed? I mean, the Commission was on, I think, this week, 12 days ago or thereabouts, saying they were going to come very quickly.
But these regulations were complex. They had to be very carefully legally drafted. And of course, people had to be consulted. Can I thank you, Sean, for having me on the show? And can I thank, through you, the people of Ireland for their compliance and their forbearance? This is the fourth week now of these stringent emergency measures. We're not there yet. We still, unfortunately, have cases increasing. We still, unfortunately, have deaths increasing. We've some of the way to go yet. And that's why we have these emergency regulations now being brought into force.
Yeah, can you clarify, and it was mentioned there by Michael McDougall and indeed, I think, by John O'Brien, they're in existence only until Easter Sunday. That's a four-day period. They can be reintroduced, but why is it such a short span?
Well, I didn't listen to all of the texts and calls to your show so far, but it seems to me that the trend is from holiday villages, from scenic areas, from places where tourists frequent. And there is a concern, therefore, a concern that I share, that compliance may be difficult to sustain now over the coming days, with particular reference to the holiday period, the fine weather, the fact that some people may be coming a little complacent now that we're into the fourth week. So it's important, therefore, that the Gardaí have clarity as to the regulatory arrangements. And another reason why Minister Harris signed these regulations into law last night.
Yeah, can I just clarify one thing? Because it's a question put forward, and a good one as well, by one of our listeners. Can the Gardaí knock at the doors of holiday homes and send the people there back to their main residences? That's from Martha in Cork.
Yes, my understanding is that the regulations can be enforced in terms of movements. And there is quite an array of restrictions on movement that everybody in the country is aware of, and that 99.9% of the people of the country have been fully compliant with. So, yes, there's a restriction on movement, and people who do breach that restriction can be ordered home, and also, of course, the restriction on events in terms of the gathering of people in numbers.
So if you're in a house other than your own, by definition, you have moved there, so you can be asked to return to your regular residence. Is that allowed for?
Yes, people may well be required to stay at home. They may well be impeded in their travel. You know, the holiday weekend car with the roof box and the buckets and spades in the back. The Gardaí will be mounting some checkpoints. I understand the Garda Commissioner will be holding a press briefing later on this morning. But he will also be impressing, as I am now, that there is no change in the Garda strategy. What the Gardaí will continue to do is engage and encourage and explain and assist people. But if there are one or two people, or a very small number of people, who wish to deliberately flout the regulations and thereby endanger the public health of people, well, then the law will be there as a recourse, but as a last recourse for the Garda Síochána.
Yeah, but I know you weren't in a position to listen to all our previous contributors, but there was a woman on from Dingle there earlier who was telling us that you know, it's like Christmas down there in terms of the lighting up of the holiday homes, and she says people are coming in and out of the town the whole time. Now, can they? That was Fran Ryan, who's cocooning down there. Can those people be told, look, go home?
Well, people can certainly be restricted in their travel. People will be required to go back to their place of residence where they have been in residence for the past number of weeks. The vast majority of people are not going to be affected by these new regulations, but there will be a small number of people who will be subject to questioning on the part of the Gardaí. And it's hoped, as the Garda Commissioner has said, it's hoped that the very high level of compliance that we've seen over the past 4 weeks will continue. I looked at the situation in France, for example, where they're publishing on a daily basis the number of summonses, the number of fines, the number of people being stopped. I don't envisage such a situation here.
Oh,
we don't want to go
not?
Down that road. But what we want to ensure is that the public health advice is followed strictly in accordance with the wishes and the advice of Dr. Tony Houlihan and his team.
Yeah, there's a report today suggesting that one of the reasons it took so long for the regulations to emerge, and also why they're on such a short time limit, is because some of your colleagues felt that they really were a step too far.
Well, they are a last resort. They do comprise restrictions on liberty of a type that we haven't seen before. But they do amount to a response to the emergency situation that we're now in. As I said to you earlier, Sean, the vast majority of people in the country have absolutely nothing to fear here. The vast majority of people have been most compliant with the advice of Dr. Tony Houlihan, which has been put into legal effect in terms of guidelines and regulations by the Taoiseach and the Minister for Health. What we're saying is that we want this to continue because we want to continue to flatten the curve and save lives, and also ensure that in the meantime that our health service is in a position to cope.
Dr. Houlihan, in last night's briefing at the Department of Health, made it pretty clear that we needn't expect a lifting of these restrictions anytime soon. But mightn't there be a difficulty, Minister? Say, I mean, there's another bank holiday weekend coming up in 3 weeks' time, the May bank holiday weekend. Now, if these regulations are left in place for too long, it's inevitable, isn't it, that cabin fever and complacency may well set in?
Yes, that may well happen. There may well be a temptation on the part of people to let the guard down. But what we've seen is citizens taking responsibility for the health and well-being of themselves, and for each other. We're all in this together, and as Tony Hoolan himself said last night, we still have some way to go here. But we can make a real difference, and we are making a real difference. And that's why I think the indications are that these restrictions, very difficult as they are for many people in the country, are likely to continue at least into next week.
I suppose, again, people will be wondering, as they inevitably do, you know, how they can work their way around, find a loophole in the regulations and so forth. I mean, like, how it will work in practice, for instance, if somebody is stopped by a guard there and they say, guard, look, I'm going to the pharmacy for medicine, you know, the guard will presumably have to take them at their word.
Well, there will be an element of discretion on the part of the Gardaí, but each case will be judged on its own merits, and the member of the Garda Síochána will be in a position to make inquiries and will be in a position to draw inferences from the circumstances of the conversation with the individual involved.
I mean, people will be, I won't say terrified, but they will be, they'll find it quite thought-provoking when they read about fines of up to 2,500 euros and or 6 months in jail. I mean, these are very, very heavy penalties.
Yeah, it's not envisaged, Sean, as I mentioned earlier, that these will be widely used. What they are there for is a deterrent, primarily a reassurance to the vast majority of the people in this country who have been compliant that their health and their well-being is being fully protected in these difficult times.
And can we take it that there will only last the initial 4 days? There won't be an automatic rollover.
There won't be an automatic rollover, but there will be careful consideration given at that point in accordance with the public health advice, again, from Dr. Tony Hoolan and his team.
Okay, Minister, thank you very much indeed for joining us. That's Charlie Flanagan there, the Minister for Justice and Equality. Coming up, Edwina Curry will talk to us from the UK about Boris Johnson and the political implications of his health crisis.